Paul is ministering to a very carnal, flesh-filled bunch of believers. They were not grounded in deep truths, and so they were floundering and they were doing a lot of stupid stuff. And so he was bringing a challenge to the believers. This, to Corinthians, is not to unbelievers. This message, when Paul did the epistles and when he ministered to the cities, it was to the believers. It was to empower them so they would realize what happened when they made Jesus Christ their Lord, and then learn how to apply what's already theirs so they could live victoriously. But in victorious living, it does not mean it's without distresses, tribulations, and sufferings. And if you've been taught that, I'm here to tell you God will not allow you to go through anything that he won't give you the ability to get through. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some challenges. That comes with living on earth. And so this was the challenge to the believers in Corinth. He said this, 17 I'm starting, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. That was a challenge to all those that were listening that were believers. But he didn't stop there. Now he's showing them what they need to see themselves. And he says in verse 18, now that you're saved, now that you're new creations, now all things are of God, who reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ our Lord, that's how we get to the Father. And then gives us, all the believers he's referring, gives us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Big word, but all it means is he gives us a ministry to get people closer to Jesus. Not closer to us, but closer to Jesus. Not closer to the pastor, but closer to Jesus. Not closer to Paul, but closer to Jesus. That's the ministry we all get when we get saved.
Right. Right.
But most church Christians don't realize that, so they live so far under what's already theirs.
Amen.
So then he goes on, he says this. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He did not impute their trespasses to them, thank God. And he committed to them the word of reconciliation. How do we get people closer to the Lord Jesus? We teach them the word of God. Or we encourage them to let the Holy Ghost teach them the word of God. And he goes on and says this. Now, because we're ministers, we are called ambassadors for Christ. As though God was pleading through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, get reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we would become the righteousness of God. You are righteous, believers. Say, I'm righteous.
I'm righteous.
Not because I'm telling you you're righteous, but because you made Jesus Christ your Lord. But pastor, you don't know all the junk I've done since I've made the Lord. The Lord looks at the finished product, and the finished product is a blood-covered man or woman of God. And there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The world and religion will condemn you. Christ Jesus doesn't, and he gives us the word to tell people you're righteous, you're righteous, you're righteous. Amen. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hopefully you hear it enough, you see yourself as righteous. Then he goes on in verse chapter 6. Now remember, when the scriptures were written, it wasn't chapter and verse. This came into being later so that we could get to places easier. It goes right into, we then, who are the we?
Us,
all the believers are workers together with him. Who's the him?
Jesus,
pleading with you, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Everybody look at me. He's not talking about going to hell. He says, you've become a new creation. You've been given everything freely to pertain to life and godliness. Don't be powerless. Don't allow this grace he gave you freely to go in vain. Vain means it's not producing, but it's not because he doesn't want it. It's because we're not activating it.
Good. Come on.
Now we need to understand we're saved by grace through faith, not works. No man can boast, but once we're saved and we get the grace and we get the infilling of the Holy Ghost and we get all things that pertain to life and godliness, we have been created for good works. Yes. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, those good works is ministry. You're created as a man or woman of God to be a minister, to do good works. Why? Because that's going to get you to heaven? No. It's going to help others get there. Those that don't know the Lord. And they're going to learn how to live on earth victoriously. Even when they have strokes. Even when their legs are out. Even when they hit somebody. Even when they go through all kinds of things and their body says, I can't function. Even when you go through that, it does not shortchange and take anything away from this grace that God gave us all.
Right.
It empowers us to realize there's a force greater than us. That we have to hook up with. Number one, it's the Holy Ghost, but it's also the body of Christ.
Amen.
And the strength of believers comes in the body of Christ, hooking up with Jesus and then hooking up with one another. No, we don't represent the whole body, but we do represent a body. And this pastor is always challenging people, if you can't be committed here, get someplace and get committed. My goal is not to produce that you are just loyal to here. If this isn't where you're loyal, get someplace. And get committed and get faithful and make it a priority.
That's right.
That you stay surrounded with this body that's going to tell you, you're a minister, you're a minister, you're righteous, you're righteous. And not around those in the world that are going to beat you down and tell you you'll never arrive. And who are you to say diddly squat? Say, I'm a minister. Behold, now is that acceptable time. Verse 3. We are going to give no offense in anything that our ministry will not be blamed. Look at me, church. So many Christians become shipwrecked. They get everything that pertains to grace and godliness, but because they do not stay connected and because they disconnect and try to do things lone rangeries, the ministry suffers. The ministry is just getting people where? Closer to. So we're going to give no offense. Now here is where, look at me. If someone says, well, I'm not disciplined like you, Pastor, I correct you. You got the same Holy Ghost that I got. And when I got the Holy Ghost, I got the fruit of the Spirit, and so did you. And the fruit of the Spirit is self-discipline, self-control. So anybody that uses that, you say, well, if I was only be as disciplined as Pastor Mike or Pastor Well, you are, but you may not be activating it. Remember what James, the pastor James, said this? Faith, belief, without works of obedience is zero. In other words, you can say you have it, but you don't act as if you have it. You can't get the fruit of it, and yet the Lord gave us it all. So what we have got to do is get you back realizing what you got and activating what's already yours. Because you're all full-time ministers. And we want you all in the ministry. Look at this. But in all things, we are commending ourselves as ministers of God. In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses. Oh, I thought if I got saved, gave my life to the Lord, it's a piece of cake. It's a flowery walk. Paul is trying to tell a carnal bunch of believers, just because you're saved, you got to work on your attitude. You got to work on these areas that's already inside you to have the ability to do. Because
yes.
You're going to come into distress. Bible says many are the afflictions of righteous men and women, but what happens? The Lord delivers us out of them all. Oh, the church, religion's done this. Oh, let's see, the reason why they're having this happen that. Well, if they'd only done this more and done this more. Well, there's a partial truth in that. When you take and don't know the Word of God, so you're never activating the Word of God or being encouraged with those around, you can't get the fruit from it because the fruit comes by us planting the seeds, and the seeds are right here. That's why we need each other. That's why the Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's safety. Because you don't have the whole counsel of God, neither do I. But we have the mind of Christ.
That's right.
And that's why we need each other. It goes on and says this. Through imprisonments, labor, sleeplessness, fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering. Some people want to take that out because, oh no, I don't want any long suffering. By kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere joy. Verse 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report or good report. It's not taking us out. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live. We are disciplined and yet we're not killed. Sorrowful and always rejoicing. Poor and we're helping make other people rich. Having nothing and yet possessing all things. And here's his cry to these carnal Christians. Oh, Corinthians, we've spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us. I'm giving you all the truth. But you are restricted by your own affections. How many ever heard me up here or Pastor Mike say, I can lead you to water, but I can't make you drink. I can't change you. I can only change me. You can't even change your spouse. You can try and you can try to dominate whatever. It don't work that way. It works by you being the best example and they want what you got. Not because you drive it down anybody's throat. So it's the same thing with training up our children. Our children should want what we got because what we got is excitement and joy in the midst of our distresses and challenges. Don't let anybody tell you, well, if you only had more faith, you'd never have to go through that. If you only had more faith, you'd never have to deal with lack. You'd never have to deal with sickness. You'd have to. The key is God equips us so that we can deal with it.
Amen.
As he delivers us out of them all. Amen. Amen? So he goes on to say, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is the whole emphasis that people, I told you a couple weeks ago, they use this for a husband and wife relationship. Yes, you can apply it. He is telling a bunch of Christians, you're hanging with unbelievers. It doesn't say you don't go and help them, but you don't hang with them. They're not your counsel. They're not the ones that are going to give you good advice.
Amen.
If anything, they're going to bring you down and you're going to feel beat up. Or if you try to share something about the Lord, they're going to think you're a kook. Don't you know things have changed? No, the Lord changes not. Society may change, but the Lord doesn't. And once again, he is shaken. Heaven and earth. Are you feeling that shaking that's going on in our country?
Yes.
It is shaking us to the core. And if you stay focused, you'll see that which is of God is going to come through all the nonsense and through all the noise.
Amen.
You're going to see the truth prevailing. And it is. It's happening. But there's a lot of mirages out there trying to trip us up. So it says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And he challenges in 17, come out from amongst them. A few weeks ago, I challenged you, who are your best friends? Who do you surround yourself with the most? Are they excited for the things of God? Are they God-fearing? Are they the ones that will tell you the scripture when you're messing up? That's the ones you need to hang with. So that you can go minister to the unbelieving family members or go on your place of employment. We're supposed to be the best employees. Remember, if you're a full-time ministry and you don't want your ministry to mess up, then you shouldn't be, your ministry should begin when you leave these doors. We all can play church when we come on Sundays. It's easy. Everybody's nice and happy for the most part. It's when we leave and you run into disgruntlement. How do you handle yourself? God says, bring yourself, subject yourself, and get stronger. His unmerited favor, when we receive it, immediately he puts us in the ministry. The more you understand the commander-in-chief, you get to know your Jesus, and you understand his ways, and you learn how to access your arsenal of weapons, the better minister you become.
Yes, sir.
The more you know your tools, the more you can help people who need these tools become better ministers themselves. But if you're not focusing much time on your tools, or you say, well, the religious way, I'll wait till Sunday. And we'll hope the pastor gives me something to make me through the week. No, you're supposed to study to show yourself approved because you're a full-time what?
Minister.
And how are you going to minister to others if you don't even know what the truth is?
Come
What's disappointing is all the time you'll see people get on different networks and all that and try to spew the truth, and it's so out in left field because they don't know the truth. But when you know the truth makes you free. So, this is what transpired. He's sorting out Paul, a messed up Christian bunch. And then he pulls away and he begins to disciple his son, Timothy and Titus. Go with me if you would, to 1 Timothy. He's going to emphasize the same thing that we just shared that he emphasized to the church. I'm going to begin at verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And Paul is saying this to Timothy, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who enabled me because he counted me faithful. Get ready if you don't have this underlined, putting me into the ministry. Who puts you into the ministry? It's not the pastor. It's not the anointed woman or man of God that you're looking to. It is by the power of God himself and the Holy Ghost that puts you in the ministry when you get saved. It's the grace of God that puts you in the ministry. Amen. 13 says this, although I was formerly, look at Paul, talk about transparent. I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor. I was rageous or insolent. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now listen, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. We call that amazing grace. He gave us amazing grace in the midst of whatever your stories were before Christ. It can't be too bad because God covered it all on the cross, and he's not going back up there. So no matter how bad you think you were or how bad you think you do, I'm telling you, God has covered it by amazing grace. That's why people get goosebumps at funerals when they sing Amazing Grace, because it is inspired by a truth. His amazing grace is what unites the body of Christ together. Amen? Verse 14. So this grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love with God. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. Now, if Paul saw himself as a chief and he did a lot of rotten things, we have to see ourselves as set free from being sinners. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, and in the first, Jesus Christ might show, if you don't have this underlined, this will help you understand when you go through things, it's not a bad thing. Again, by this reason, I obtain mercy that in me, Paul, first, Jesus Christ might show all long suffering. Paul was going to be a witness of some long sufferings as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. The very elements that you go through, the hardships you go through, the long sufferings you go through, God uses that for those that he's going to save in the future, so they've got an example that you can share to relate with them so they can see that they're not just the slum of the earth, but they're just like anybody else. And he allows us to go through this to empower us with strength in the midst of the storms. I've always said if you've gone through and you've been a drug addict, you're going to be a witness to drug addicts. If you've had booze was an issue with you, when you get set free, you'll help people that's still an issue. For those that overeat, for those that have all kinds of swear issues, once you allow the Holy Ghost to set you free, you're going to help others that struggle. It's for that next generation. Because again, you were all full-time what? Ministers. So we want you to get stronger so you can be better ministers. So when we get to heaven, we'll thank God having done all. Having done all. Amen? Stay with me. Now, the King eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, by honor and glory forever and ever. Verse 18. This charge I'm committing to you, Timothy, son, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you're going to wage the good warfare. Everybody look at me. This life we're in down here, you're in a warfare. is for survival, not for heaven. You're already made Jesus Christ your Lord. You're going to heaven.
Amen.
It's for survival down here to help set the captives free. This onslaught of outpouring of corruption and people shooting and killing people all over the place, and it doesn't make common sense because it doesn't. The God of this world is blinded and has come under attack to America, is trying to break down the very core. And we were founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and it's been for years fought against to break that out of our DNA. But it's not going to happen because the body of Christ is rising up and taking back what's already ours. Our nation was founded, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. And people died to give us the freedoms to fight for this nation, to protect that. And we will not give in to a doctrine that changes that.
Amen.
Because you're ministers looking to set other people free. And this is what I want you to underline too. Having faith and a good conscience, which some rejected concerning the faith. Okay, look at me before I go on. There are believers, because they don't put actions to what they believe, it's like rejecting the faith. They become shipwrecks. If I was to ask a show of hands, and I'm not gonna, you know lots of Christians that have become shipwrecked. Some keep crashing their ships. Because they keep doing it their way instead of his way, because they stay disconnected from the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, we've got to stay connected because we draw strength from one another. And you aren't going to go through some of the sufferings that others are, but we need the whole package if we're going to have an answer to help people get closer to the commander in chief, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, we want to help people not suffer shipwreck. I think that's a good thing. That's commendable. I've often said, and I know you know this, when I was a school teacher, a coach, I saw myself as a full-time minister. I wasn't looking to be or hands laid on me or whatever. That's not the issue. I was wanting to be a blessing and help people get closer to the Lord. We need them in the shops. We need them in the offices. We need them in the fields. We need them in the farm fields. We need them in the harvest fields. We need people that will see themselves as ministers wherever they live.
Amen.
Your neighborhoods are in ministry, and your neighbors should love that you live there, because you live there, it's a blessed neighborhood.
Yes.
Wherever you tread, your feet shall tread. God blesses it. When I moved out in Marion Springs, I said, don't move out in there. It's a terrible place. I worship Satan. And don't you know that it's a messed up place? And down at the bar there, people are disappearing. I said, well, that must be why God wants to plant us. And we begin to pray and believe God and minister to our neighbors. And now I got the neighbors asking me to protect their houses when they're gone. And we had over 50 people come to the Lord out of that whole region. People, my gosh, what's happening down there? It's because you're building bridges. You're seeing yourself as a minister. I was not a pastor. I did not have a special calling. I had the same calling we all get. It's called to be ministers.
Amen.
And so if you don't live where you live now, you should, there should be a big void. Because wherever you're at releases kingdom life and blessings. So, having said that, full-time ministers, this is what he says. Therefore, I encourage you that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks should be made to all. Now, do you know, look at me a second, do you know that a lot of people think it's only pastors should be praying? You know, there's people that think that, oh, no, I got somebody needs something. We better let pastor know. Do you know I don't have a different Holy Ghost than you got?
Yep.
Do you know that mine is not a superior one? You got little baby ones?
Yep.
We all got the same power within us. This was to Timothy, but this was to believers. You should be praying and have prayer and intercession and giving of thanks for all men. Do you know that Lynn, when she sends this and she's really challenged by a granddaughter that's going through this, she didn't send that not just to us. She sent that to the body. I need your prayers. And if you didn't, I know you see yourself as ministers, but if you didn't see, oh, I got to make sure we get it to the top dogs. The top dog's Jesus, and we're all the small dogs.
Amen.
And we're all on that same corporate place of standing together. You've got to believe you're a minister. For kings and all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. If there is confusion and stuff going on, we're supposed to be praying for our king. And right now, our number one king is our president. So Lord, right now, we know that Franklin Graham said that Christians need to be praying for the president. We take liberty right now to lift up our president and his family. And we pray, Father God, protection. And we pray, Father God, that you'll keep him from doing wrong things. And you'll help surround him with wise counsel, Lord. And we thank you that because we do that, there is peace that comes upon our household. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of God. Verse 8 says, I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Do you know that until I became Pentecostal, I didn't even know about raising hands. Now it's just a natural. But the challenge, we're all supposed to be raising up holy hands and thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. That's to ministers. See, if you didn't see yourself as a minister, no sense in doing it. But the more you see yourself as a minister, if someone called you an idiot long enough, you'd believe it. Seriously.
No, that's good, Pastor.
As a counselor in the public schools for years, kids coming in, girls, guys, beat down, beat up because they were made fun or put down. Hounded. Now we got the big thing, people picking on one another. People called fat or called skinny or called stupid. And they hear it enough and they hear it enough. You know what? They start believing that. So we declare you're righteous. You're mighty. You're a mighty young man, Josh. You're a mighty young man. You're a mighty young woman and husband team. You're mighty. And you're ministers. And you're a good looking bunch of ministers. And this is what happens, believers. Chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. This is a faithful saying. If a man or a woman desires the position, yours may say bishop. The actual Greek rendering means overseer or supervisor. If you desire to be an overseer or a supervisor, now wouldn't you think that most full-time ministers would want to be a supervisor or an overseer? If you're in a family, you oversee a family. If you have a business, you should be overseeing that. If you work for a business, you should be overseeing. If it's only your machine and the ones you have accountability to, if you desire to be an overseer, it's a good thing, God says. It's a good thing to see yourself as a minister wanting to help other people. It's a good thing. It goes on and says, you should be blameless. You should be only one husband, one wife. You should be temperate. You should be sober-minded. You should have a good behavior. You should be hospitable. You should be able to teach. You have the same. You should, if you desire that, you have it. You're not given to booze or you're not given to wine. You're not violent. You're not greedy for money. But you're gentle. You're not quarrelsome. You're not covetous. See, we got to break that off the church. The reason why there's so much fight within churches is because we're coveting other church and we want their people, or they're all his people. Right. Whether you go here or you go to St. Mary's or you go to First Church on the left or the Second Church on the right, if you know Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters. We're on one team. It's Team Jesus. He's our head. We're part of this beautiful body. We just get some really good-looking people. Somebody wake my wife up over there. All right. Verse 4. You need to rule your household. There you go, as an overseer. You should have your house in order. You should not be a novice, or you'll be puffed up, prideful, and you'll fall into that same condemnation as the devil does. When you see people that are placed into positions too quickly, they do get prideful, and they think they've arrived. That doesn't make you have to be that way, because my mom taught me two wrongs don't make a what?
Right.
Right. So you see that, understand, oh, shoot, They're a little immature in that area. Don't be that way. And then it goes on, it says, moreover, you must have a good testimony among those who are outside the church, lest you fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. We're supposed to have an outstanding witness, not to believers, but to our co-workers and our neighbors. We're supposed to have that if we desire to be overseers. We run a minister's training school here, and we train people how to be the best servants. But sometimes when they go through the training, they'll say, oh, I want to be licensed. I want to be ordained. And Pastor Mike might bring someone to mind and say, hey, what do you think about this person? And I get this thing, oh, my gosh. And I might say, ask people that are close around you. Ask your wife. And when they come back, you got to be kidding me. You know they probably do not have the best witness outside the body. Folks, wherever we fall, we can get better.
That's right.
He's not done with any of us.
Amen.
We're supposed to be a witness to those outside this building.
Yes.
We should be, when people think of us, they're always going to say stupid stuff and lie about you and stuff, but for the most part, it should be, wow, that person, he's an honest person. That person's a good guy. They may not even know you. I love it when I have students come back and say, oh, Miss Downs, I want you to know I'm serving the Lord now. I knew you'd want to know that. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. Or someone say, I'm serving. Or you get some like Fran that used to be in Fellowship of Christian Athlete Groups and starts coming to church. And it's cool to know people are still serving the Lord after these. I wasn't a pastor. All I was an encourager to get people or students. We didn't care what. You were Catholic, Methodist, Pentecostal, we wanted you hooked up to Jesus, praying for your teachers, praying for your school, being encouragement. Some of my greatest witnesses in the public school, I'm not going to mention names, are ones that came out of the toughest situations. I remember one individual he headed up all the parties in Hemlock, and he was the kegger. And I remember when he came into my office and gave his heart to the Lord, I was so excited. I started to hook up some of my other Christian students. And they, Mr. Downs, oh, man, I can't hang with them. They got a bad... I says, influence them to hang with you.
Amen.
So there'll be change.
Yes.
And then there'd be other ones going up in the lockers, and they'd be saying, hey, you need to tear those wicked posters down, and you need to know Jesus loves you. And these kids were cool kids because they had been on the other side. They got free, and they saw themselves as ministers. And they're looking to help others. I told my wife that the most disappointing thing I had is when we ran a K-12 Christian Academy for 12 years, and when the kids begin to graduate, they were lethargic. They were almost fearful of the world. Gosh, we're to influence the world, not hang with them, but we have to influence them. And I had to think, maybe we did something wrong here. Well, I know a lot of you are our graduates, so we did right too. But I'm saying it's a day-to-day thing, man. Folks, our mission is to get our kids as strong as they can so they make the right decisions. So they make a decision to go in the military, or they make the decision to go to a Christian school. Nobody forced them to do that. They made that decision on their own, or get involved in plays in their school and be a witness. I'm looking at you, Bella. What a blessing our kids are.
Yes.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Mighty.
Mighty. Mighty. Mighty Tony, you're a mighty man of God. It's good to see you. 2 years. God's got great things. Stay connected.
Yes.
Be that influential person, whether it's at McDonald's or wherever God takes you. You've got the same Holy Ghost. I know you love God. And I don't know why things didn't go whatever did, but there's a reason. God works it all for your good.
Yes.
It's going to be beautiful. Because he loves you, and we love you, and we welcome you. Amen? I'm going to close with this. Look with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. You're in, or excuse me, 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And I'm going to close with these verses, and I'm going to ask if somebody would bring our children back from children's ministry, please. Verse 6. If you instruct believers, And who's supposed to be instructing believers? We are ministers. In these things, you're going to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, and you'll be nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have certainly followed. But reject profane and wives' tales. Exercise yourself towards godliness. See, exercise isn't all bad, is it? Bodily exercise profiteth a little. We got a little, even though we're a little sore with that little. Godliness profiteth for all, having promise of this life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For this end, we, the ministers, are laboring, and we do suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men and women, especially of those who believe. These things we command and teach. Don't let anybody look down on your youthfulness. Be an example. Look at this. We're supposed to be an example to believers. Why do you think Paul would tell us to be examples to believers? Because there's a whole lot of believers that need some good examples set before them. You did not choose your mom and dads, and some of you didn't even have moms and dads, so many people didn't even have a good example set before them. No excuses, though. You got a body of Christ. That's why I challenge the older men and the older women here. Help train up the next generation. They may not have had good fathers. And when we, in our men's group, very few did have good fathers. We're blessed if we did. But we do now.
Amen.
Just like we had you good mothers stand to your feet. Amen. What verse am I on? You're paying attention, I'm sure. 13. Till I come, give attention to the readings, encouragement, and to the scripture. Do not neglect that gift that was given to you by prophecy. Do you know John 15:16 says, you didn't choose him, he chose us. And then Romans 8 says, all things work together for good, for who he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to his image and likeness. And he who he called, he instructs in righteousness, and he glorifies. You know, glorify means he gets us ready for heaven. Do you know that we were chosen by him, and he has been training us, and he's been trying to put us in locations to get even stronger? Verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress will be evident to who? All. Take heed to yourself and to this Bible or this doctrine. Continue in it, for in doing so, you will save yourself and those that hear you. Our mission is to be used powerfully to not only save ourselves, but to also be used so that others will want what we have.
Amen.
And what we have is good, but what we have is not without its challenges. So if you step in a hole and break your femur bone and wonder, how in the world can that happen? What did I do wrong? Don't beat yourself up. But we're all going through challenges. We're all going through shakings. And I'm telling you, nobody is free of having to go through this. I'm just telling you, buck up and know we're in this thing together.
Amen.
And we're going to get through this together.
Yes.
Because we're not going to stand alone. Good to see you, John. We're standing with you in that back, in that sciatic or whatever. In Jesus' name. It's not because you're a bad person, it's because the devil's a bad person. And the Lord is rich. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to ask Jennifer if she would get prepared with my beloved. And we want to welcome you that are still with us on Facebook to be ministered and be blessed by this song. And I'm going to ask right now, if anyone that's viewing or anyone here has not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, do so. Just ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask him to be your Lord, and he comes. And he makes you that new creation. And that's the beginning of that grace that's poured out so that you can be used as a full-time minister to minister to us.
You came to me, a tiny little babe, so helpless. You needed all I gave. I fed you. I bathed you. I dressed you. I loved you. And as I watched you grow, I taught you all I know about the one above, who is the greatest love. And as you tried to learn it all, I gave you this one call. Follow me as I follow after Christ. Mimic me as I serve him all my life. Though you might have pain and your tears may fall like rain, if you find it hard to see, just follow me. Now today, you have made your own choice known. This faith divine, you've chosen as your own. You know him, you praise him, you love him, you trust him. And he will watch you grow. He'll teach you what to know about the one above, who is the greatest love. And as you try to learn it all, he'll give you this one call. Follow me as I lead you in my light. Mimic me as you serve me all your life. Though you'll have some pain and your tears may fall like rain, when you find it hard to see, still follow me. And someday you'll leave this earthly place. You'll find me in a glorious heavenly space. I'll meet you. I'll greet you. I'll lead you to show you. And when you see his face, you'll bask within his grace. He'll wipe your tears away, and you won't know what to say. But Jesus will know how you've tried, and he'll speak to you with pride. You followed me as I led you in my light. You mimicked me, and you served me all your life. Though you had much pain and your tears fell down like rain, even when you could not see, you followed me. Well done, you followed me. Well done, you followed me. Thank you.
That was you, Russell. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet there, church. Beautiful, Jennifer. Thank you. Thank you, and Jason. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are we ready to impart on our full-time ministry? So, Father, we go now with the grace of God that fills us to be used in powerful ways, to be empowered for any and all obstacles that come against us. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Greet one another, love one another. If you need special prayer, altar's open.